Well, there was a newly ordained priest who was having a very difficult time with his homilies for two reasons. The first reason is that he had a terrible memory. He couldn't remember anything. And it's funny, at the last Mass, I couldn't remember the second thing. But I did make a note. The second thing is that his homilies were very boring. Everybody went to sleep. And so he decided to get advice from the old Monsignor that was living at the rectory. And the old Monsignor says, well, to give a good homily, what you want to do is you want to get their attention right at the beginning and tell them a good story. Maybe surprise them, tell them something very shocking to get their attention. For example, the old Monsignor went on to say that on Mother's Day, he would always get up and say, at the very beginning of his Mother's Day homily, the most wonderful years in my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife, my mother. Well, the young priest thought that was a great idea, so a few months later, when Mother's Day came along, he decided to do something like that. So he got up and said, you know, a while back I was talking to the elderly Monsignor, the old Monsignor, and he said that the most wonderful time in his life was spent in the arms of another man's wife. But for the life of me, I can't remember her name. So a very happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, godmothers, and grandmothers. And I think today's reading is a good reading for Mother's Day because it's all about love. And isn't that what is the heart of a mother, is love? Take a look at today's gospel. The Lord talks again and again about love. But it is important to know that in the Greek language, there are at least four major words for love. And it's important to know which one the Lord is talking about here. A good book to read would be a book by C.S. Lewis called The Four Loves, where he describes each of these loves and explains what they are. And notice the word that Jesus uses for love. He does not use philios, which is brotherly love or friendship. For example, Philadelphia is a city of brotherly love. Jesus doesn't use the word storge in Greek, which is affection, maybe that children have for their parents or we have for our country, a patriotism. He doesn't use the word eros, which is romantic love. Every time in today's gospel Jesus uses the word love, he uses the word agape or agape. This agape love is charity. This kind of love is sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving, self-donating love. And it's much more than an emotion. See, emotions can come and go, but true love is a decision. True love is an act of the will. See, true love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. That's what agape love is. It's self-giving, self-donating, sacrificial, unconditional love. So when Jesus says, as the Father loves me, so I love you. That's the kind of love he's talking about. This total, unconditional, self-giving, sacrificial love. Because true love is a sacrifice. Jesus, I'm sure, didn't feel like dying on a cross. But why did he do it? He did it out of agape, sacrificial, unconditional love for us. He even said there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for another person. So Christ is the ultimate lover. In fact, there's a great book called This Tremendous Lover. It is about Christ. It's a spiritual classic, This Tremendous Lover. And that's what Jesus is. He laid down his life for us. He showed us what true love is all about. So if you ever want to see an image of what true love is, look up at the crucifix. On Valentine's Day, everybody uses the heart, which is a beautiful symbol of love. But the greatest image of love is Jesus on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Because that reminds us that true love is not emotions, it's not feelings. Because God could not command us to have a feeling, but he does command us to make an act of the will, to love him and to love others in sacrificial, unconditional ways. So if you ever want to see what is the most perfect image of true love, it is the crucifix. It is the cross. And Jesus says there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for another person. Think of the martyrs. The martyrs laid down their lives out of love for Christ. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were thrown to the lions. Some of them were crucified. The martyrs were men and women of love. They gave the ultimate gift of themselves in sacrifice. In World War II, you know the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was a priest arrested by the Nazis in the concentration camp, and they were going to exterminate 10 men because one prisoner had escaped. So they picked out 10 men and they were about to execute them, and Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, "I will offer my life for in place of one of these men." He didn't know this man. He was a stranger to him, but that was true love. No greater love than to lay down one's life for another person. In my last parish, you might have read the story of Mr. Tom Vanderwoody, father of 7 sons. His younger son, Joseph, had Down syndrome. Joseph was about 25 years old at the time, and he's 30 years old now. But he fell into an old well, an old cistern on their property. And Mr. Vanderwoody dove in and held up Joseph until the rescue squad came. And he saved Joseph's life, but he died in the process. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another person, Jesus says. So whether it be Christ, this tremendous lover, the greatest of all acts of love was his death on the cross, or the martyrs, or Maximilian Kolbe, or Mr. Vanderwoody, we see in these great men and women what true love is all about. It's much more than these other kinds of love. It is agape. And Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." He says, "Remain in my love." Well, how do we remain in Jesus's love? He tells us in the next sentence, "If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love." So if we keep his commandments, the 10 commandments, the teachings of Christ and his church, we will remain in his love. We'll remain in the state of sanctifying grace, which is friendship with God. And notice Jesus says, "I no longer call you slaves or servants. I call you friends." See, rabbis would have disciples, servants. But Jesus says, "No, I'm going to elevate you from being a slave or a servant into being a friend." So he elevates us. See, Christianity is such a beautiful religion. We call God Abba. We call God Father. That's so important. That's different than other religions that have a different relationship with their God. You know, we don't call God Master or, you know, that we're his slaves. We call God Father because we are his children. And that's one of the most beautiful aspects of Christianity, is that Jesus has elevated us to share his own life through sanctifying grace, and we are now adopted sons and daughters of God. And he concludes the gospel by saying, "You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go forth and to bear fruit, the fruit of goodness, holiness, and virtue that will remain into eternity." And then his last sentence today, "This I command you." He doesn't suggest it. He commands us to love one another. And that love is not philios, eros, storge. It is agape, this total sacrificial, unconditional love that he has for us. So yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And because God loves us, he'll give us the grace to truly love one another.